Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. What I would like to do is kind of give you a layout, because over the years, we kind of create, or we actually discover that there's more important information that I believe fits the narrative so that you can understand just how far, how, why, you know, the fundamentals of how we started deviating from the course that we were supposed to be on. And so there's historical things that we need to cover. And so what I've done is kind of looked at some of the stuff that I've inserted or we've brought up because of their historical importance. But anyway, what I want to do is I kind of want to cover what those things are. And we will, you know, after we do the obligatories. But today's kind of a day of marketing. And I want the, so kind of hard to say. It's like I told you so. One of the things that it's just an indictment on how complacent we are, because because as soon as we had Trump in office, all of a sudden the conservative movement withered and died on the vine in some respects. Those of us who understood and those of us who were engaged in an actual solution recognized that there was really, there was no sight of the real solution coming under Trump. And, you know, even if Trump hired me as an advisor, I would still be skeptical, because until things really started happening, until the avalanche, that snow breaks free and starts to move, then you know something's happening. And so even though you're putting the munitions in place and you're doing some testing, it doesn't mean that we're really in the movement. And so it, like I said, America needs, unfortunately, and here's the sad thing. America needs that kick in the crotch. America needs that, you know, that knockout punch to flatten us so that we can realize, or I should say not the knockout punch, not the end of the game or the end of the fight punch, but, you know, a really knockdown punch to actually make us wake up and realize what we're fighting here, what we're dealing with is not something to marginalize. I can't believe how many people just marginalize their liberties and just think, oh, it's not that important. I mean, we got Trump in there now. We're good. No, we're not. Do you realize the Leviathan that is operating and he's doing nothing to dismantle? Not that he has the power to dismantle it. But anyway, what I do need to do is I need to get back to the fundamental things that, you know, we want to drive, and capturing information that is imperative, that proves the point. Because I love being right, and I want to have an irrefutable argument so somebody could just rattle off these things that occurred and just go, all of this was deviations and movement away from the defined Constitution. Because, folks, if you haven't garnered yet, the majority of all of the problems that you deal with are 9 times out of 10, when we're talking about government, 9 times out of 10 has to do with unconstitutional government. Anyway, as you know, the show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and I'll get into that new layout. We're going to get into some need-to-know news, but before we do, I'll get into something on a personal note. As you know, you're listening to The Only Show. This is why we go through the history, kind of like a timeline, and our focus isn't on the full history of the Dark Ages and, you know, from the creation. We we do that. I did that in my book, and that's why it's as long as it is, because it just takes a lot of time to kind of cover things, and still at a high level, I cover those things. Not in some cases, I get into very very specific details, but in most cases, I want to just focus on what is relevant for us to understand the narrative of liberty. How far back this goes, and how long this struggle. Bottom line, we're in the midst, and it has been a constant civil war until we vanquished the enemy. And that vanquishing won't really come until Christ comes, because it's about liberty and subjugation, as I talk about in The Scale of Liberty. And we'll be starting off, when we head into the ratification phase, we will start off with that. But anyway, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. Call anytime, 24/7. You got a comment, you got a question, something really bothering you, as long as it's not personal, as long as it's constitutional. How can we get rid of Liz Cheney? I get emails like that. And so, okay, I will kind of tell you what you can do and how to do this. It's not hard, but I mean, there's no button you push and okay, well, she's gone. You have to exert some work, and you have to start educating people to getting involved. Liz Cheney could be gotten rid of. Any congressperson, just due to the fact that many of the things that they do are violations of the Constitution. They don't even care about the Constitution. There's never really a champion. Maybe Rand Paul. Maybe, some of them. But if you look at, in some ways, but even if you look at how they vote or what they do, I have a hard time believing that they're all perfect, that there's usually a problem with all of them, because there's nobody, because anybody that comes to the conclusion how steeped our federal system is with problems, they wouldn't have anything to do with the federal government. They would be like I, out and trying to get everybody to actually stand up against this tyranny. Why would they be there making a living and taking money and participating and not actually being a champion out? Because I believe, because people have asked me, why don't you run for office? If I run for office, then my hands are tied. And these guys, if they are doing their job, their hands would be tied. And in all honesty, the way the voters and the paradigm of Americans are today, if you're in office and you're not giving them some kind of benefit, unconstitutional benefit or anything like that, then, your career won't even last. So why even go into a career where you have to fight with a sword and shield against this tyrannical government, against this government that has usurped so many powers? You would just be, kind of be marked. Remember McCarthy, excuse me. McCarthy was fighting communism. And most people, when you really look at what he was saying and what he was doing, he was too late. He was right, and he was too late. And so the media, over the course of well over a half century, has had a great opportunity to besmirch him and to massage information and data so that you look at him as the bad guy. McCarthy was right. McCarthy was pointing out that our society was rife with communists and that they needed to be called out. And excuse me, what we have to do is we have to start pointing out that these people are anti-constitutional. If you understand your duty as a citizen, this is why I point these things out, that if you're supporting communism, then you should be removed from your ability to vote and participate. I mean, if you're actually out there, it's one thing to It's one thing to have the dialogue. It's one thing to, you know, debate, you know, the merits and so forth. But you get very dangerously close to that line when all of a sudden what you're doing is trying to undermine the Constitution and trying to undermine our constitutional form of government by demanding, by supporting and articulating in favor of a communist revolution, in favor of violating the Constitution, in favor of overthrowing the government, because that they're not going to take the time to go through Article 5 amendments to slowly change, legitimately change our constitutional republic into a constitutional communist government or republic. So, I mean, because they understand their problem is the Constitution, which is why in the late 1800s, they started working very specifically of how to, let's just say, change the paradigm and with, you know, the sleights of hand, get you to start thinking the federal government can do anything necessary and proper. They built upon those mystical clauses that Hamilton and his jurists relied upon so that they could aggrandize governments. So anyway, when we get back, what we'll do is I want to cover kind of a little personal thing, because I just want to throw that out there, what the significance of today is. And then I want to go through the timeline, and then we'll get into some of the need-to-know news, marketing, and other news that I've picked up over the past couple of weeks. But anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
All right, so, you know, no matter where I go, I'm going to have a frog, right? Today, February 22nd, is the anniversary of my wife and I's first date. We've been married well over 30-some years, and I have a good memory. So names is a huge weakness for me, but dates and events, what happened and so forth, I have a good memory for that. As a matter of fact, I have a good memory for a lot of things. And so I usually test really well. It just frustrates the crap out of people that I can test really well, as long as that test has not
does not include lots of names and location, names of locations and that type of stuff. So anyway, I'm not sure how many of you kind of cling on to, you know, those kind of significant events. Because obviously the first date is, you know, the first real step in a relationship. And so I've always tried to be thankful and grateful of, you know, the contributions and what my wife means to me in my life. And so I don't ever getting into basic philosophical thought, I shudder to think any of us would ever lose a loved one and have to mourn, or that regret of, you know, not being able to have things cleared, cleaned, and, you know, knowing that you said I love you. You said those types of things. And the reason I have a profound feeling for this is one of the things I did in our family, because, you know, we believe in trying to capture those significant things, you know, memories, and kind of try to create a documentary with my grandparents. And so after my grandmother passed away, because I was in the Marine Corps, didn't have a lot of time and or money to be able to go home. So I was gone out of the, you know, away from the family, you know, for a long period of time. And so as I went home, I picked up a camera, my wife and I, and we stopped at my grandpa's house after grandma had passed. And I said, you know what I want to do is I want to sit down and talk to grandpa and record it so that we could talk about, because he actually flew in the Army Air Corps in World War II, and how he, you know, got into the Army Air Corps without ever being a pilot, without ever getting a college degree, because he certified himself. He went, took the test, and he had the smarts to be able to sit and look at read the books, and then he went off and tested, and he passed all the tests. And so he was like the only non-college graduate that was a pilot in the Army Air Corps. But back in those days, they didn't have this hard stipulation. They did have the ability to allow people to become an officer, you know, because they needed officers. And sometimes they, you know, make those conditions, they make those compromises. Oh boy, you know, we really need people to fly our aircraft, because that's when, you know, we really moved into the airspace of prosecuting a war instead of being on the ground like in World War II. And so it was a new age. Anyway, so I wanted to sit down and talk to him. And as we talked to him, we got into him and grandma and so forth. And friends, I have seen a loved one, my grandfather, you know, when he finally realized, when we were talking, or he may have realized this, he may have known this, and this was a time, and he lived in an era where men didn't discuss their feelings. Men didn't, you know, express their feelings. And, you know, I actually caught it in the recording where, you know, he broke down and said, I never told her I loved her. And those types of things, I it moved me so much that I said, you know, I never want to marginalize. I never want to be in a position, especially with those most important things in our lives. And so even though liberty is probably the most important thing in our lives that is worth dying for, you know, so should our spouse. So should our relationship with, you know, those we love. Anyway, so we, you know, maybe mushy or what have you, but for the most part, we've always, even before Grandpa, excuse me, we've always recognized the certain events of, you know, our relationship, our first date, when I proposed, that type of stuff. But anyway, so yours truly, even on holidays or important days like today, you know, try to do and try to provide you with, you know, a current picture or the relevant content that is important. I do pre-record, but I usually pre-record that same day. And so this is how we can, you know, get your comments and your questions. And so, anyway, I just wanted to kind of share that little part, because I don't want you, I want you to think about it, because I don't want anybody to ever have to, you know, go through the regret. And so here's the flip side of this. I saw this with Grandpa, and I saw this with a personal friend who was, her husband was always late, and he had a motorcycle, and he always tried to make up his time by speeding. And she was going to be speaking, and she asked him, please don't be late. And he was, because of the nature and so forth. And so as he was going to her, you know, the location where she was going to be speaking, he had a fatal accident on his motorcycle. And I've never talked to her about this, but I shudder to think that her last comment to him is, please don't be late. Instead of, I know you tend to commonly be late. If you're late, don't hurry. Please take your time. Don't make any dumb decisions, because I would much rather have you alive than lose you because you tried to come and hear my talk. And so, and I mean, they were young. I mean, they were, late 30s or in the 40s. And you could tell they were in love. But the fact is that that is a heavy yoke to carry for the rest of your life, for that long of your life. I mean, we're talking, you know, somebody lives in the 30s, early 40s, they got another 30, 40 years to have to live with that, and to, you know, to come to grips with and put that into proper perspective. So I don't want anybody having to deal with those types of things. So try to think. Try to, when you go to work, try not to go to work. If you've got a problem, deal with it and get it over with. As my parents taught me, never go to bed mad. And so, you know, I've tried to live by that. And I've tried to make sure that, you know, I forgive quickly. That's a really important thing. We have to, you know, get over and not want vengeance and not go down that path of being possessed with anger. But anyway, let me move away from the what we call the personal side, and let me kind of give you the how the information is lined up, because I kind of went through the different things that I stumbled across over the years and how we started to inject these things. So when we start off, and that we're heading into that probably in the next month, the scale of liberty is the very beginning, because you have to put into perspective the different paradigms of liberty and slavery, or liberty, a government of liberty and communism, or a totalitarian type of government. Then we get into natural law, we get into American republicanism, and then we dive into the ratification debate. So with a little bit of overview of what drove the need for the ratification debate, or actually the Constitutional Convention, then we get into the Federalists, and what we do is we kind of highlight the Federalist Papers and point out, you know, how they're nice, they're good to have, but in contrast to the ratification debates, we would be better off not having those if we only had the ratification debates. Federalist Papers, the fact of the matter is, we've always had the ratification debates. The problem is that they've been suppressed, they've been hidden from us, and we've lived on the Federalist Papers. And the only portion of the Federalist Papers that are worth reading are Madison's. Hamilton had he had an ulterior motive. He believed that we needed a different type of government than what we were getting in this Constitution. Therefore, he hid his real sentiments, and he hid those things, because when he made comment, I forget which Federalist paper, but he talks about the court assuming powers that it shouldn't. He said that's a real phantom. You can't mathematically kind of prove that this is even going to happen. And to me, I believe he was creating either strawman arguments or using red herrings and trying to marginalize what he was planning on exploiting, because he did exploit the court. And we get into that as well. But anyway, then we go through kind of the events that occurred in the different congressional debates and through Congress, and how they started entertaining and stepping outside the bounds of the constitutions with the cod fishery bounties debate, the Assumption Act, and then we get into the 1798 resolutions. And the 1798 resolutions is the foundation of Republic Review. Now, what we do before we even get into the scale, the last thing we're going to do before we start all over again is we're going to go through Republic Review, both the argument and the process, and then we kind of lend in, or you know, bleed into these documents that help support that. We'll be right back after this. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what we do here is, because I could easily, you know, create the perfect dialogue, but then it's kind of trapped in the same thing. So what we do when we go through this is we try to lend to some of the things, not necessarily time-bounding it to current events, but using the recent events to help put things into perspective. So when we talk about the Assumption Act and the Federal Reserve, you know, comes to mind, because, you know, how have we grown from creating a national bank to creating a charter with a private entity in running our financial our monetary system, as well as feeding our economy and manipulating our economy. I mean, so we get into those types of things when we cover this stuff. So the 1798 resolutions is the most important part that really supports what we're talking about with Republic Review. All of these things really point to either how we've diverged or provide reinforcement and fortification of the concept of Republic Review. Anyway, we get into the veto of the DOT, the Department of Transportation, which we I don't know the last time we did that, but I know we just covered the Monroe Doctrine. So we try to do these as a timeline. And the reason we kind of deviate at some points in time in the year is we got Constitution Day, Bill of Rights Day. So we have these miscellaneous topics that we cover too. And we try to kind of wrap things up on the backside where we go through these things and then we get into the scale of liberty. What we should have done, and we haven't, actually we did cover the 11th Amendment, because in timeline that actually happened before the Department of Transportation. And so, because the 11th Amendment actually was, I'm going to say, what's 1793 or 4 or something like that. It was after the Bill of Rights, and it was before the resolutions. So anyway, when we cover these things, the whole point is to try to cover them so you see the unraveling or the perversion of the Constitution over time. And in some respects, they kind of create these, I'll say, portals, because that's exactly what John Marshall did when he started redefining what these mystical clauses were. As a matter of fact, I don't have on here, and I need to add that. Because see, what I'm trying to do is have a comprehensive view for people. So mystical clauses, see, I'm realizing, I just added it, I'm realizing where I fell short in covering the content for you. So the mystical clauses would actually, I should have covered that after the resolutions, because it was when John Marshall got seated as the Chief Justice, which was around 1801, that, because it was under Adams, that John Marshall started using the formula that Hamilton gave him of the four clauses that they were to use, the Commerce Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, the General Defense and Welfare Clause, because the ambiguity in the document, if you don't use the ratification debates, the ambiguity in the document would allow him to pervert the real meaning. This is why staying away from the ratification debates made it possible for them to start perverting and creating these footings that would allow the federal government to start violating the Constitution without people really knowing it. So anyway, like I said, we covered the Monroe Doctrine and the Manifest Destiny. The 12th Amendment, which should also have been covered, and we do cover that, but it was never something that we covered on a regular basis, but it is in the queue. And so we cover that in the timeline as well. And Madison's letter to John G. Jackson, we covered that just recently. Now what we're going to cover between now and when we get into the ratification debates is the creation of the Department of Home and the Civil War and the 14th Amendment. And we also want to get into some miscellaneous topics. The First Amendment petitions is one miscellaneous topic. Common law grand juries, I know we covered that last summer. The parties and the Rhino Party. I cover this quite a bit just because the party is such a big part of our problem. And this is why we want to point to and let you know that even if you live in a state that has a solid constitutional Republican Party like Wyoming, it doesn't matter, because when you get to the national level in the federal government, then you have a party that is working against the Constitution. We also cover the Tory Acts. We cover statehood and the state enactments. And actually, this is new. I haven't done this yet, but we will be doing this. And I might do this before the ratification debates, just to, you know, force myself into getting the research done, because I pulled in probably about 6 of the state enabling acts, or the things that, you know, when Congress declares that, okay, you can become a state and this is what you have to do. And at the very, like I said, at the very end, we cover the Republic Review argument and process right before we go into the ratification of AIDS. But we also have special days like Labor Day. You want to hear me grind my axe on unions and collectivism. Labor Day is one of those days that I, you know, make it very special, because when we as a nation celebrate a day that represents communism, I'm telling you, the chickens are home to roost, or whatever that saying is. Anyway, we cover Thanksgiving, we cover Christmas, and actually, like I said before, on the pertinent days, we'll read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Now, this last year, we did not necessarily read the Bill of Rights on December 15th. What we did, and I kind of liked it, is we read the Constitution from beginning to end all the way to the 27th Amendment. And in so doing, it kind of just helped everybody get their arms around the entire Constitution. Because when you hear an amendment like the 12th or the 14th or the 17th, regardless of whether it's a questionable amendment or not, as a matter of fact, I tell people all the time, I have no problem with the Constitution as it lays. I would like to see the states rescind the 17th Amendment to start restoring the paradigm of recognizing the sovereignty of the states in government. But then we get into a lot of other philosophical ideas that people then, you know, when you start talking philosophical, that's where you start talking about, you know, things can be changed, and people look at that and they go, they start, what they do is they leap to conclusions and thinking wrong. But that's not my intent. My intent is to actually, you know, lay things on the table to say, would this be better? And I think the most important thing is that whatever it is that we talk about, whether that be when we're even talking to progressives, it's one thing to have an open dialogue, and I think that's the most important thing mature adults do, is have an open dialogue about what the real problems are. And when you do that, then you can actually put ideas on the table to say, you know, the framers created this restriction. However, this restriction at this point in time, because at that point in time, they didn't have the technology. And a great example of that is, why do we have Congress where Congress is? Why is it that our representatives, with technology today, we've proven with COVID that this nation can function via Zoom or via telecommunications, via telecommuting. Why is it that our congressperson is actually, you know, representing us in D.C. when we have the technology for them to actually engage in government and have them available to us the way they should be? It almost starts, there's no doubt in my mind, if when they were writing the Constitution, they had this level of technology, there's no doubt in my mind, Madison and the framers would have said, you know what, you don't take residency there, but you have, you know, maybe some very specific types of meetings that you may need to attend. But even the classified stuff, you can do that in a SCIF. You can create the necessary needful buildings at the state level so that you can have your representation available to you, because it was just repugnant. As a matter of fact, and I've said this before, we will cover this in the ratification debates, where they even talk about the importance of the representation being available. Because I forget who said it, but somebody said, hey, you know, once these people become a part of the federal government, they go and hide from us for 2 years, and the only time we'll ever see them is during the elections. And that's how it is even today, and there's no reason for that. But anyway, we get into some details of the Constitution that, while we're reading the Constitution, that actually takes us on a longer course of constitutional matters. And some of those things that I want to make sure you understand is ex post facto laws and bills of attainder, as well as the Electoral College, when we hit the 12th Amendment, the Article 2. And actually, it's in Article 2 where I actually take a day and go through Article 2, the 12th Amendment, and the 20th Amendment. One of the things we're picking up, and a couple more things we're going to be picking up, I will tell you after the break, because I don't want to bleed into, I do it too often, I don't want to bleed into the break, so we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. I'm sorry. So, It's a lot of work running your own recordings. Anyway, so getting back to this kind of timeline and how we present the data. And by the way, if there is something we're missing, please let me know. If there's something that we need to add, please let me know. But the like we were just covering, there are things within the Constitution that you may want more on. And as a matter of fact, maybe we need to cover more on the militia, but I think we go into those details when we actually cover the Constitution and the ratification debates. But the ex post facto laws and bills of attainder really do not get into deep details regarding, because they're in the Constitution. And so many of the things that they just go, yeah, this is good, this is good, this is good, they don't, the anti-federalists don't make any big hay about what they find this good. They find, you know, these things, the lack of the Bill of Rights and you know, these other things such as the militia. That's why we cover those in the details during the ratification debates. Another thing that I'm going to end up talking about is the court, and this is going to actually be something we need to put in a precursor. But we haven't done it yet, and it won't be probably in the queue because I still need to do more research on this. Things that were elementary in government or the way people wanted their government to be prior to the Revolutionary War and the Constitution. One of those things was this thing called the Committees of Safety and the Committees of Correspondence. Most people don't understand what these things mean and what they were. And so we need to get into that. And so we probably will. And we'll probably do that maybe later on. I don't know if I'll get into that as a precursor to what we want to do. But these things are kind of new. And that's because there is a movement by other organizations and so forth that are trying to reinstitute committees of safety. So I think it's important that we get into that so that you understand what the heck these things are. The other thing we want to get into, which really gets into the heart and soul of Republic Review, is the presentation to the highest court. In other words, this process of how we get the states together. Because when I say the highest court in the world, it is not the Supreme Court. It is not the UN or some tribunal established by international, or I should say an international tribunal established by sovereign states. It is the sovereign states of the United States when they come together in looking at breaches, violations, and their compact and how it is being exercised and or abused. And so that usually is a part of, and as a matter of fact, the focus of that is really the 1798 resolutions as well. And then we go into the ratification debates. And so in the ratification debates, I kind of want to give you the overview of how we do it. What I do up front is I go through the states in kind of the order that they met, they convened and they rubber stamped, or those that we don't have a lot of data on. And a good one is like Connecticut or Maryland, Rhode Island, Delaware, and so forth. But the heart and soul of the ratification debates is the what I call the meaty debates. This is where you get your fill of sustenance and meat. And so Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, South Carolina, Virginia, New York, and North Carolina. And actually, it'll be in that order. But anyway, let me kind of dive into some of the marketing. But just giving you a preview of how we kind of, and how this show works logically, so that we can lay things out, and intermittently we throw in marketing and that type of stuff. So if there's something that I just read that you wanted to get injected because you think it's really important, then by all means let us know. I mean, immigration, we do talk about immigration, but maybe we want to talk about some of the current problems that are so egregiously affecting us. I mean, it's the lack of responding to this illegal invasion, this invasion that our country is going under from these people from the southern states. We actually have to address this. And so the best way, because I truly believe that either we address this now or the Lord will address it, and it will, because when the Lord comes, you got to understand that all nations will be basically torn down. And so I believe he'll institute his constitutional republic, you know, and he'll be able to perform the necessary miracles in getting every state in line with liberty and so forth. And because I believe all those who will be the real problems will be dealt with as well. But anyway, let me just kind of jump into these things that I think are important. And the first thing I want to ask you is, how can you tell? How can you tell when your evil enemy is winning or they believe they're winning? Regardless of how things go, whether we successfully reclaim this republic, because I believe we have a duty and charge to do so, I believe that when the time comes, we'll be held accountable, whether we sat on our hands and committed acts of omission, or whether we, you know, did what we're supposed to do. So how can you tell when an evil enemy is winning, when evil thinks that they are in, you know, in the position to win? It's when they openly admit their wrongdoings and brag publicly about how they've been doing it. Now, going way back into the 90s, I believe it was 1991 or 1990, when David, and this was written in David Rockefeller's memoirs, and he openly admitted some of the following. Some believe, and this is him quoting, some believe we, the Rockefeller family, this is out of his memoirs, folks, so this isn't me just creating, you know, or citing somebody else. This is citing him. Some believe we, the Rockefeller family, are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States, characterizing my family and me as, quote, internationalists, close quote. and of a conspiracy with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. That was what they called it, and that was the buzzword back then, the One World Order. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and am proud of it. Interesting. So when you get to the point where you can actually put that in writing, then we have to recognize where we are today. So this next one from him is basically something that I believe he submitted. Yes, this is David Rockefeller when he was talking to the Trilateral Commission in 1991. Listen to this. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected our promises of discretion for almost 40 years. So in other words, back in the 50s, before the counterculture revolution, they were already working together in this secret cabal. He goes on and says, it would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government, a supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in past centuries. Here he is. What he's doing is he's exposing, you know, that they've been working and who they've been working with. Having the support of these mainstream media folks, Washington Post, the New York Times, and Time Magazine. So I just want you to understand that when they're coming out like this, and this was back in the 90s, well, there's all sorts of cases, and the reason I'm giving you this is because G. Edward Griffin provides an insight of recently what took place in Time Magazine. But here's an interesting comment from Nick Rockefeller, a younger Rockefeller. The end goal is to get everybody chipped to control the whole society, to have the bankers and the elite people control the world. Now, that was back then when that's what they thought was the perfect medium, because they wanted to get everybody chipped. Now, we understand, those who live in the world of Christianity understand, and most people truly believe, that the chip is going to be the mark of the beast. I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to chip you. They don't need to chip you. And as a matter of fact, they're going to maintain this concept that they want to chip everybody. And then they're going to get you to buy into and you willingly registering yourself. And the way you register yourself, well, we'll have to get into the mark of man and registering oneself in our next episode. So we'll pick it up from there, and I'll re-go through this chipping concept. And I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.